Monday, August the 5th,
1996.
I thank you for your
welcome once more. It's a pleasure to have you. It is good to see friends old and new.
We really look forward to these meetings.
It is good that so many of you have gathered once more. I wish to say to you this time that all of you are children of truth, that you leave this room and you spread the light of truth. It brings to this room many people who seek truth, who seek light, who seek knowledge. I say to you, dear friends, that your own spiritual lights grow daily as you become accustomed to that light and truth yourselves. We welcome back the young gentleman who I must say is a child of the earth. His feet have always sought after distant lands. And that will not change in future years. But always he will return to this spiritual land of people.
Good.
Nice to know.
I believe, dear friends, your awareness of us was great whilst pondering upon flowers of distant lands.
More great enough.
Do not put yourself down. Your awareness is indeed growing. There is much for you to learn and much for you to do in future years. You are indeed a child of the earth.
It's a beautiful earth.
It is beautiful only through the eyes of those who behold beauty. To us, it is an earth plane of misery, destruction, and misuse. But to you all, dear friends, you now should see your earthly plane as a planet of beauty with much potential and much good to give forth to humankind. Would you not agree with me?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
I know when first I came to speak to you, your doubts about your planet were uppermost in your minds.
Quite right, they were.
I hope that my teachings, the truth of all things, has helped to lighten those fears. And now you are aware of the beauty rather than the darkness.
I certainly am. And everybody else?
Yes.
Have a greater appreciation of the beauties of the world?
Yes.
Not only of your planet, but you see the beauty within humankind, your fellow man, peoples who come within your daily lives.
Yes, that also is true.
It will become stronger the more you use your positive thoughts. And always, dear friends, this is what we will strive towards. Now, I am happy to take your questions this time.
Thank you. Yes, I have been puzzling quite a bit about some of your teachings. And you have told us that the soul chooses its body for this earth sojourn. It even chooses its sex and its parents. So presumably it knows what is going to happen to that physical body during its lifetime. What puzzles me is that if a soul has progressed to a certain degree spiritually, why would it choose a body which is going to be disliked, vindictive, selfish, and a reservoir of all the worst things?
We will speak about this. I have said to you many times that what the soul decides is a puzzlement to your human minds.
Mm-hmm. You have?
It may not necessarily be that a disruptive human life is initially what has been chosen. Remember, you have free will, that there are many pathways in your lives, and people do choose the wrong way. Remember this.
Yes.
But I say to you, those souls who choose difficult lifetimes are sometimes greater souls than you may at first imagine. Do not judge a human life because you cannot see the fuller picture.
No, this is what puzzles me. This is why I asked the question, hoping that you might be able to make it a little clearer for us.
It may be that the soul has placed itself within that human situation of creating what you may term disruptive living. but is in fact providing spiritual growth for those people who surround it. You understand?
Yes, yes I do.
It may be that the soul who are around are here to learn specific lessons. For example, let us take tolerance or good thoughts even.
Mm-hmm.
How else will you learn tolerance unless you are faced with intolerance?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes, I do.
There always has to be the opposite in life.
Mm-hmm.
You can see this, dear friend, can you?
Yes.
So, do not always assume that the people you call living bad lives, it may not be so. You cannot judge. You cannot judge. Unless you know the full picture.
Right.
But that is not to say that everyone who comes is not doing it for good purposes. There are those who tread your earth who have indeed chosen the wrong path and may be using disruptive influences for the wrong reason.
I see.
So, for example, the drunken father who beats a child may not be doing that for the child's good or the spirit's growth, but because he has left the right road of life.
Yes, these are the things which puzzled me, you see.
Yes. I would say to your friend, you cannot judge.
No.
You cannot place two peoples in the same situation and say that both are right or both are wrong.
No, this is clarifying it a bit for me. I agree.
I know you find life difficult to understand. All of you do. You think that life's strifes and troubles are wrong, but I have to tell you once more, that is not always the case.
No, there is a reason for them, you have told us.
In most lifetimes, the soul has chosen its life's journey. And mostly, I would say, they would stay on that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
But always remember that free will comes into play.
Yes. So, going to the first example again, a soul presumably could have chosen to inhabit a disrupted body, knowing that it was going to be of help to other humans around it during its lifetime.
Yes.
And it would choose to accept the vicissitudes of that life. By so doing, it would be enhancing its own soul's growth, is that right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, too, my son, that not only is it the soul, but all who are concerned with it, that before they leave our world, a pact is made between them.
Yes, you said that.
No one human being enters this lifetime not knowing what their life's pathway will be.
I see.
But we have spoken before about the loss of the memory of the lifetime.
Yes, you have.
So, you see, you must not, you cannot, you should not judge.
No.
I know you all within the confines of this room. Find is one of the most difficult things to do.
Yes, I certainly have.
All of you do.
Mm-hmm.
All of you do. And it takes many, many times of living to begin to see that there is indeed a pattern to spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes, that is why I put the question tonight, because I've been thinking a great deal about it, as you may know, and I thought the clarification might be good for us all, because I'm sure my colleagues here would have thought along the same lines and puzzled about these things.
Yes. It is difficult for you. We accept that these things are, and that you will never fully understand.
No.
After all, that is why you are clothed within these bodies.
Right.
There are restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you cannot know until these garments are left behind and you all return.
As I can better understand now, an author I read and who was published many years ago, and his characters in one part of the book, the character is a churchman, a Catholic priest, who says that an intellectual approach to God is madness. It must be faith.
I would say no, not only faith, but what you have today is knowledge and light and truth. That is why all of you are emissaries of spiritual truth. You go forth, all of you, and in your own ways, you spread what you know. It is not a blind faith, not a belief, but what you know to be true.
Not required. Yes, in the back of it, I thought that author was lacking something, and that was what he was lacking, knowledge.
You cannot put pen to paper on subjects you do not know about.
Right.
So you cannot judge the author of the words because he writes only of what he knows.
Of course. I've always pointed out to these people, remember that you are reading into any book the bias of the author.
I have spoken too previously about the many contradictions that seem to come from our world, but I have told you that all who come can only supply you with what they know.
Isn't that right, of course?
So again, accept if you truly can, and do not judge.
Yeah.
I know this is a difficult lesson, but a lesson it is, to judge not anyone who walks this earthly plane. It is hard, and we accept it.
Yes, it is. But I'm sure we should be forgiven a little slip along the way in that direction now and again.
My dear friend, there is no need for forgiveness. It gladdens my heart to see that you think deeply upon these matters, that your awareness, your consciousness, always is being raised in the right directions. I am happy for you all that you question these things. because there is no harm in questions.
Yeah, well, thank you very, very much for clearing that up for me. And I'm not going to grab any more time. I always do that. Ever would anybody else like to put a question or sentiment?
Yes, could I just ask, when does the spirit actually enter the human body? Is it as soon as the baby is conceived or once the child is born?
I believe I have answered that question before. Yes, there is much controversy from our world on this subject, but I tell you that the spirit enters the body on conception. There is much talk of this, and I am aware of the differences of opinion. But I have said to you that the moment of conception is when the spirit enters, because after all, it has been waiting for such time to occur.
If I could follow on that, I think her lady's question was prompted by the fact that many embryos have just been destroyed, embryos which have been frozen by our medical scientists. So, yes, Sarah, they have been killed.
Yeah.
That was what was bothering you, I think.
Well, that was part of that. Yes. And also this twin that's going to be aborted too.
I have to tell you that it is always up to the human being what way they take in life. But I say to you that on the whole, abortion is wrong.
Thank you.
Those embryos which have just been destroyed, they, of course, that spirit would return to your world, wouldn't it? To await a further birth period here.
Let me say a little about this subject.
It would be interesting for us, thank you.
I am aware of what you speak about, and I believe I have told you also in earlier days that we have what is called spirit pool.
Yes.
Because I remember, dear friend, you questioned me on that also.
Mm-hmm.
When spirit is forced back to our world, and that is the only word I can find that is appropriate for now. They return to the pool of spirit to await what happens to them next time. Spirit waits to be born. And you may say, well, why did the soul not know that this would happen? It is a case of man interfering. You have to remember this. And man does abuse, man does destroy, and man does interfere with nature. I hope this is clear to you.
Okay. If I could ask one extra question on that, the pool of spirits, as you call it, we understand that and can accept the inference. Would those spirits have any knowledge in their own right once they are in the pool? Or are they in a dormant stage?
Whilst in the spirit pool, They are buffeted from all things for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you might call it a recovery period. When then they will be guided and helped to know what to do next.
I see. So they do become, in effect, a living entity again in your world.
Of course.
Yes.
But they need that recovery time.
I understand. Understood, yes.
Because they have been expelled from this world under difficult circumstances.
Yes, and impossibly expelled, haven't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can an aborted child later come back through the mother that it was aborted through originally?
Of course this can happen, but it is not something that happens generally. There would have to be a very good reason for this to occur. It would depend upon why the abortion took place. It depends on all aspects of things. What was in the mother's mind and why the soul was aborted. It's a complicated issue. But I would say, generally, no.
And you would always condemn abortion in any shape at all, in any way at all, and for any reason at all?
No, you cannot make it black or white. It is not so simple.
This is what I was wondering, actually.
Sometimes the mother aborts for what she would consider very good reasons, health reasons. She does not get rid of the child for selfish motives. You understand?
Yes, that would bear on what we have discussed previously about considering the motive rather than the action.
Always it is cause and effect, remember.
Yes.
And remember also that generally most peoples do not have the knowledge that you all have. You
no.
understand?
Yes, to them it's purely a physical thing, isn't it?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
To most peoples, a fetus in the womb is not a child. But I have to tell you, those of you here who have greater knowledge, that they are ridding themselves of another soul.
Yes.
They are breaking their contracts. Perhaps you can understand those terms.
Yes, when you use those words, we can understand
yes.
that they are breaking a contract. But as you say, those who create that action are not aware of the spiritual nature.
They do it unwittingly.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you have to make allowances and you must not judge.
No. Yes, that question, that remark is going to occur to us many, many times, I'm sure, about not having to judge. Because so many things are open to misjudgment, aren't they?
Yes. You will see when you return to spirit all those times within your lifetime here, the times when you have misjudged others. And let me say to your dear friends, those are painful times for most souls when they see power of their thoughts against another. And remember, it is your thoughts which you are sending forth
yes.
when you make judgment
mm-hmm.
upon another human being.
So if we made a misjudgment upon another human being, And even if that person wasn't aware of our thoughts, could those thoughts influence the person?
Of course, it would depend on the power of the thought.
Mm-hmm.
We have spoken of this.
Yes. So again, it's not the physical person who will understand it, but the soul.
The soul will pick up.
Yes.
It depends upon the intensity of the thought.
Yes, but in any case it would be the soul which would react and not the physical being.
And let me tell you that these thoughts always will rebound back to the sender.
Yes, I quite accept that.
Good or bad, these thoughts are energy.
Yes.
And we have said energy is not static.
Right.
So it cannot be retained. So it will rebound back to the center.
Yes.
So please think upon these words. And again, I have returned, have I not, to the power of your thought.
Yes, you have indeed.
You see, dear friends, no matter what subjects we discuss, which subjects we bring forward in these meetings, that always it returns to the power of thought in one way or another.
It's inseparable from everything, isn't it?
Of course. And once you fully understand and realize this, then I would say to you, you have opened up yourselves to that great creation which pervades all things. And then, and only then, will you become a small part of the whole.
Yes, from what you tell us, it's almost frightening for us to realize what power we do have without realizing it.
I hope I do not bring fear into your hearts. That is not my purpose.
Oh, no, of course not. No, don't misunderstand me, please. But it could be frightening.
Yes.
When we realize the power of thought.
Yes, but it is crucial to you all, to your consciousness, to your understanding of living, that you do begin to try to see what it is.
Yes, we know that you would never bring fear to us, but again, that's indicative of our little tiny physical mind's interpretation.
Remember always that you need to grow. And to grow, sometimes you need to take one step backwards. But you always that you tread sure-footedly onwards and upwards, and that you are surrounded by many who come to help, to uplift you, and to bring you that truth, light, knowledge, wisdom, whatever words you wish to use. They surround you all to help you, and to help you to further the truth of our world.
Yes, I think I can speak for everybody if I say that since you began teaching us, we have all become much more aware of those who are around us.
I hope so, because you cannot see all of them, I know. But as time continues, as your knowledge increases, no attract to you those higher and greater in spirit, because they are attracted to your spiritual lives.
Is that something we have to keep in mind all the time? As we have said before, think less of the physical and more of the spiritual.
Yes. I have said you must keep a fine balance. After all, you have come to this life to learn much, but you must look after your human brains and your human duties, but do not neglect your spirits, because your friends that is within you, which will be carried forward as you know. And the more you can learn whilst here in these human veins, the better it is for you when you return. I think I must leave you this time, but I will say this to you, dear friends, that you all are part of the great creative force which is responsible for all things. It belongs in all that you see, all that you touch, all that you do. It belongs to you, and you to it. I leave you now with much love. I thank you once more for your coming and joining together, for creating this spiritual union for a short time.
We thank you. This month is a small, a short anniversary. It's 2 years since you began teaching us. And I'm sure we've learned more in those 2 years, thanks to you, than ever we have learned before on the same basis. And we do appreciate it.